Chapter 10, Who Will Be There? Christ's trophies. In that day the redeemed will shine forth in the glory of the Father and the Son. The angels, touching their golden harps, will welcome the King and his trophies of victory, those who have been washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. A song of triumph will peal forth, filling all heaven. Christ has conquered. He enters the heavenly courts, accompanied by his redeemed ones, the witnesses that his mission of suffering and sacrifice has not been in vain. Jesus ascended to the Father as a representative of the human race, and God will bring those who reflect his image to behold and share with him his glory. Those who share Christ's suffering, those who are partakers of Christ's sufferings will also be partakers of his consolation and at last sharers of his glory. God's surprises. Many will be in heaven who their neighbors supposed would never enter there. Heavenly companions, then the redeemed will be welcome to the home that Jesus is preparing for them. There their companions will not be the vile of earth, liars, idolaters, the impure, and unbelieving, but they will associate with those who have overcome Satan and through divine grace have formed perfect characters. Every sinful tendency, every imperfection that afflicts them here has been removed by the blood of Christ, and the excellence and brightness of his glory, far exceeding the brightness of the sun, is imparted to them. And the moral beauty, the perfection of his character, shines through them, in worth far exceeding this outward splendor. They are without fault before the great white throne, sharing the dignity and the privileges of the angels. Brothers Charles Fitch and Levi Stockman, we all went under the tree of life and sat down to look at the glory of the place, when brethren Fitch and Stockman, who had preached the gospel of the kingdom, and whom God had laid in the grave to save them, came up to us and asked us what we had passed through while they were sleeping. We tried to call up our greatest trials, but they looked so small compared with the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory that surrounded us, that we could not speak them out, and we all cried out, "Alleluia! Heaven is cheap enough!" And we touched our glorious harps and made heaven's arches ring. Huge multitude redeemed. Nearest the throne are those who were once zealous in the cause of Satan, but who, plucked as brands from the burning, have followed their Savior with deep, intense devotion. Next are those who perfected Christian characters in the midst of falsehood and infidelity, those who honored the law of God when the Christian world declared it void, and the millions, of all ages, who were martyred for their faith. And beyond is the great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. Their warfare is ended, their victory won. They have run the race and reached the prize. The palm branch in their hands is a symbol of their triumph, the white robe an emblem of the spotless righteousness of Christ which now is theirs. Christ's apostles, amid the ransomed throng are the apostles of Christ, the heroic Paul, the ardent Peter, the loved and loving John, and their true-hearted brethren, and with them the vast host of martyrs. Martyrs buried in Rome, in these underground retreats, the catacombs in Rome, the followers of Christ buried their dead, and here also, when suspected and proscribed, they found a home. When the life-giver shall awaken those who have fought the good fight, many a martyr for Christ's sake will come forth from those gloomy caverns. His faithful ones, with unutterable love, Jesus welcomes his faithful ones to the joy of their Lord. The Savior's joy is in seeing, in the kingdom of glory, the souls that have been saved by his agony and humiliation. And the redeemed will be sharers in his joy, as they behold, among the blessed, those who have been won to Christ through their prayers, their labors, and their loving sacrifice. As they gather about the great white throne, gladness unspeakable will fill their hearts, when they behold those whom they have won for Christ, and see that one has gained others, and these still others, all brought into the haven of rest, there to lay their crowns at Jesus' feet and praise Him through the endless cycles of eternity. Angels, saints, and Savior. The angels will be there, also the resurrected saints with the martyrs, and the best of all, and what will cause us the most joy, our lovely Savior, who suffered and died that we might enjoy that happiness and freedom, will be there. His glorious face will shine brighter than the sun, and light up the beautiful city and reflect glory all around, quoted in Children, children will be there. They will never be engaged in strife or discord. Their love will be fervent and holy. They will also have a crown of gold upon their heads and a harp in their hands. And their little countenances, that we here see so often troubled and perplexed, will beam with holy joy, expressive of their perfect freedom and happiness, quoted in a consolation letter. Dear brother, I hardly know what to say to you. The news of your wife's death was to me overwhelming. I could hardly believe it and can hardly believe it now. God gave me a view last Sabbath night which I will write. I saw that she was sealed and would come up at the voice of God and stand upon the earth, and would be with the 144. I saw we need not mourn for her, she would rest in the time of trouble, and all that we could mourn for was our loss in being deprived of her company. I saw her death would result in good, quoted in Those who come to God in faith, God justly condemns all who do not make Christ their personal Savior, but He pardons every soul who comes to Him in faith, and enables him to work the works of God, and through faith to be one with Christ. Jesus says of these, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. This unity brings perfection of character, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. The Lord has made every provision whereby man may have full and free salvation, and be complete in Him. God designs that His children shall have the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness, that all may have the light of truth. God has provided salvation for the world at infinite cost, even through the gift of His only begotten Son. The Apostle asks, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Then if we are not saved, the fault will not be on the part of God, but on our part, that we have failed to cooperate with the divine agencies. Our will has not coincided with God's will, quoted in Those who look to Jesus, he who is trying to reach heaven by his own works in keeping the law, is attempting an impossibility. Man cannot be saved without obedience, but his works should not be of himself. Christ should work in him to will and to do of his good pleasure. If a man could save himself by his own works, he might have something in himself in which to rejoice. The effort that man makes in his own strength to obtain salvation is represented by the offering of Cain. All that man can do without Christ is polluted with selfishness and sin, but that which is wrought through faith is acceptable to God. When we seek to gain heaven through the merits of Christ, the soul makes progress. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we may go on from strength to strength, from victory to victory, for through Christ the grace of God has worked out our complete salvation. Without faith it is impossible to please God. Living faith enables its possessor to lay hold on the merits of Christ, enables him to derive great comfort and satisfaction from the plan of salvation, quoted in Those who cling to Jesus, our Savior is the ladder which Jacob saw, whose base rested on the earth and whose topmost rounds reached the highest heavens. This shows the appointed method of salvation. If any of us are finally saved, it will be by clinging to Jesus as to the rounds of a ladder. Elect obey with childlike simplicity. The Father sets His love upon His elect people who live in the midst of men. These are the people whom Christ has redeemed by the price of His own blood, and because they respond to the drawing of Christ, through the sovereign mercy of God, they are elected to be saved as His obedient children. Upon them is manifested the free grace of God, the love wherewith he hath loved them. Everyone who will humble himself as a little child, who will receive and obey the word of God with a child's simplicity, will be among the elect of God, quoted in the 144. We were on our way to Mount Zion. As we were traveling along, we met a company who were also gazing at the glories of the place. I noticed red as a border on their garments, their crowns were brilliant, their robes were pure white. As we greeted them, I asked Jesus who they were. He said they were martyrs that had been slain for him. With them was an innumerable company of little ones, they had a hem of red on their garments also. Mount Zion was just before us, and on the mount was a glorious temple, and about it were seven other mountains, on which grew roses and lilies. And I saw the little ones climb, or, if they chose, use their little wings and fly to the top of the mountains, and pluck the never-fading flowers. There were all kinds of trees around the temple to beautify the place: the box, the pine, the fir, the oil, the myrtle, the pomegranate, and the fig tree bowed down with the weight of its timely figs. These made the place all over glorious. And as we were about to enter the temple, Jesus raised his lovely voice and said, "Only the 144,000 enter this place," and we shouted, "Alleluia!" This temple was supported by seven pillars, all of transparent gold, set with pearls most glorious. The wonderful things I there saw, I cannot describe. Oh, that I could talk in the language of Canaan, then could I tell a little of the glory of the better world. I saw there tables of stone in which the names of the 144,000 were engraved in letters of gold. God's promise to Ellen White: "The Lord has given me a view of other worlds. Wings were given me, and an angel attended me from the city to a place that was bright and glorious. I begged of my attending angel to let me remain in that place. I could not bear the thought of coming back to this dark world again." Then the angel said, "You must go back, and if you are faithful, you, with the 144,000, shall have the privilege of visiting all the worlds and viewing the handiwork of God. Abel will receive immortality, at his second coming all the precious dead, from righteous Abel to the last saint that dies, shall awake to glorious, immortal life," quoted in Abraham's eternal possession. The plan of redemption was here opened to him, in the death of Christ, the great sacrifice, and his coming in glory. Abraham saw also the earth restored to its Eden beauty, to be given him for an everlasting possession, as the final and complete fulfillment of the promise. Overcomers will receive crown. Let no man flatter himself that he is a successful man unless he preserves the integrity of his conscience, giving himself wholly to the truth and to God. We should move steadily forward, never losing heart or hope in the good work, whatever trials beset our path, whatever moral darkness may encompass us. Patience, faith, and love for duty are the lessons we must learn. Subduing self and looking to Jesus is an everyday work. The Lord will never forsake the soul that trusts in Him and seeks His aid. The crown of life is placed only upon the brow of the overcomer. There is, for everyone, earnest, solemn work for God while life lasts. As Satan's power increases and his devices are multiplied, skill, aptness, and sharp generalship should be exercised by those in charge of the flock of God. Not only have we each a work to do for our own souls, but we have also a duty to arouse others to gain eternal life. If you would be a saint in heaven, you must first be a saint on earth. The traits of character you cherish in life will not be changed by death or by the resurrection. You will come up from the grave with the same disposition you manifested in your home and in society. Jesus does not change the character at his coming. The work of transformation must be done now. Our daily lives are determining our destiny. Defects of character must be repented of and overcome through the grace of Christ, and a symmetrical character must be formed while in this probationary state, that we may be fitted for the mansions above, quoted in God's original purpose in the creation of the earth is fulfilled as it is made the eternal abode of the redeemed. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. Then we shall enjoy with him all the glories of the world to come throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. There is nothing in the kingdom of God to disturb or annoy. This is the life that is promised to the overcomer, a life of happiness and peace, a life of love and beauty. There is no sin, no distracting care, nothing to mar the peace of the inhabitant. Those that overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, will be the favored ones who shall receive the seal of the living God. Those whose hands are not clean, whose hearts are not pure, will not have the seal of the living God. Those who are planning sin and acting it will be passed by. Only those who, in their attitude before God, are filling the position of those who are repenting and confessing their sins in the great and typical Day of Atonement, will be recognized and marked as worthy of God's protection. The names of those who are steadfastly looking and waiting and watching for the appearing of their Savior, more earnestly and wishfully than they who wait for the morning, will be numbered with those who are sealed. Those who, while having all the light of truth flashing upon their souls, should have works corresponding to their vowed faith, but are lured by sin, setting up idols in their hearts, corrupting their souls before God, and polluting those who unite with them in sin, will have their names blotted out of the book of life, and be left in midnight darkness, having no oil in their vessels with their lamps. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. There is a heaven before us, a crown of life to win. But to the overcomer only is the reward given. He who gains heaven must be clothed with the robe of righteousness. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. In the character of Christ there was no discord of any kind. And this must be our experience. Our lives must be controlled by the principles that controlled his life. Erms 28, 1886, quoted in Faithful, exalted, and honored, the glories that await the faithful overcomer are beyond any description. The Lord will greatly honor and exalt his faithful ones. They shall grow like the cedar, and their comprehension will be certainly increasing. And at every advanced stage of knowledge their anticipation will fall far beneath the reality. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Our work now is to prepare for those mansions that God is preparing for those who love him and keep his commandments. The Lord Jesus will enlarge every mind and heart for the reception of the Holy Spirit, quoted in Those who have come back to the fold, when the storm of persecution really breaks upon us, the true sheep will hear the true shepherd's voice. Self-denying efforts will be put forth to save the lost, and many who have strayed from the fold will come back to follow the Great Shepherd. Australian Signs of the Times, Supplement, January 26, 1903, quoted in His well-beloved brothers, the black man's name is written in the book of life beside the white man's. All are one in Christ. Birth, station, nationality, or color cannot elevate or degrade men. The character makes the man. If a red man, a Chinaman, or an African gives his heart to God in obedience and faith, Jesus loves him nonetheless for his color. He calls him his well-beloved brother, quoted in Those the redeemed have taught about Jesus, the redeemed will meet and recognize those whose attention they have directed to the uplifted Savior. What blessed converse they have with these souls! I was a sinner, it will be said, without God and without hope in the world, and you came to me and drew my attention to the precious Savior as my only hope. Others will say, I was a heathen in heathen lands. You left your friends and comfortable home and came to teach me how to find Jesus and believe in him as the only true God. I demolished my idols and worshipped God, and now I see him face to face. I am saved, eternally saved, ever to behold him whom I love. Quoted in Soul Winners, every wise steward of the means entrusted to him will enter into the joy of his Lord. What is this joy? Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. There will be a blessed commendation, a holy benediction, on the faithful winners of souls. They will join the rejoicing ones in heaven, who shout the harvest home, quoted in Those who have heaven in their hearts, to his faithful followers Christ has been a daily companion and familiar friend. They have lived in close contact, in constant communion with God. Upon them the glory of the Lord has risen. In them the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ has been reflected. Now they rejoice in the undimmed rays of the brightness and glory of the King in his majesty. They are prepared for the communion of heaven, for they have heaven in their hearts. With uplifted heads, with the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness shining upon them, with rejoicing that their redemption draweth nigh, they go forth to meet the Bridegroom, saying, Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. He is Lord of lords, and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, and chosen, and faithful. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, Daniel, in another passage from the book A Word to the Little Flock, I speak of scenes upon the new earth, and state that I there saw holy men of old, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, Daniel and many like them. Ms 4, 1883 quoted in Those who have followed the pattern, the waiting saints will be looking for him, and gazing into heaven, as were the men of Galilee when he ascended from the Mount of Olivet. Then, those only who are holy, those who have followed fully the meek pattern will, with rapturous joy, exclaim as they behold him, Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. And they will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, that wakes the sleeping saints, and calls them forth from their dusty beds, clothed with glorious immortality, shouting victory, victory, over death and the grave. The changed saints are caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, never more to be separated from the object of their love, quoted in Those who do his will, the character which we now manifest is deciding our future destiny. The happiness of heaven will be found by conforming to the will of God, and if men become members of the royal family in heaven, it will be because heaven has begun with them on earth. The righteous will take every grace, every precious, sanctified ability, into the courts above, and exchange earth for heaven. God knows who are the loyal and true subjects of his kingdom on earth, and those who do his will upon earth as it is done in heaven, will be made the members of the royal family above, quoted in Those who work in harmony with God, no one, not even God, can carry us to heaven unless we make the necessary effort on our part. We must put features of beauty into our lives. We must expel the unlovely natural traits that make us unlike Jesus. While God works in us to will and to do of his own good pleasure, we must work in harmony with him. The religion of Christ transforms the heart. It makes the worldly-minded man heavenly-minded. Under its influence the selfish man becomes unselfish because this is the character of Christ. The dishonest, scheming man becomes upright, so that it is second nature to him to do unto others as he would have others do unto him. The profligate is changed from impurity to purity. He forms correct habits, for the gospel of Christ has become to him a savor of life unto life. Those who contemplate heavenly things, in heaven God is all in all. Their holiness reigns supreme, there is nothing to mar the perfect harmony with God. If we are indeed journeying thither, the Spirit of heaven will dwell in our hearts here. But if we find no pleasure now in the contemplation of heavenly things, if we have no interest in seeking the knowledge of God, no delight in beholding the character of Christ, if holiness has no attractions for us, then we may be sure that our hope of heaven is vain. Perfect conformity to the will of God is the high aim to be constantly before the Christian. He will love to talk of God, of Jesus, of the home of bliss and purity which Christ has prepared for them that love Him. The contemplation of these themes, when the soul feasts upon the blessed assurances of God, the Apostle represents as tasting the powers of the world to come. Those who love God and neighbors, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. This do, and thou shalt live. All who will conform their lives to the plain requirements of God's word will inherit eternal life. Rom. 28, 1904 quoted in. Those who have partaken in Christ's sufferings, those only who have partaken of the sufferings of the Son of God, and have come up through great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, can enjoy the indescribable glory and unsurpassed beauty of heaven. Those clothed with purity, soon Christ is coming for His people to take them to the mansions He is preparing for them. But nothing that defiles can enter those mansions. Heaven is pure and holy, and those who pass through the gates of the city of God must here be clothed with inward and outward purity, quoted in. Those who have heard His voice, those whom Christ commends in the judgment may have known little of theology, but they have cherished His principles. Through the influence of the Divine Spirit they have been a blessing to those about them. Even among the heathen are those who have cherished the spirit of kindness. Before the words of life had fallen upon their ears, they have befriended the missionaries, even ministering to them at the peril of their own lives. Among the heathen are those who worship God ignorantly, those to whom the light is never brought by human instrumentality, yet they will not perish, though ignorant of the written law of God, they have heard His voice speaking to them in nature, and have done the things that the law required. Their works are evidence that the Holy Spirit has touched their hearts, and they are recognized as the children of God. How surprised and gladdened will be the lowly among the nations, and among the heathen, to hear from the lips of the Savior, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." How glad will be the heart of infinite love as His followers look up with surprise and joy at His words of approval. But not to any class is Christ's love restricted. He identifies Himself with every child of humanity. That we might become members of the heavenly family, He became a member of the earthly family. He is the Son of Man, and thus a brother to every son and daughter of Adam. His followers are not to feel themselves detached from the perishing world around them. They are a part of the great web of humanity, and heaven looks upon them as brothers to sinners as well as to saints. The fallen, the erring, and the sinful, Christ's love embraces, and every deed of kindness done to uplift a fallen soul, every act of mercy, is accepted as done to him.